I think it's super common. Like, I would be quite surprised if there was a non-birthing parent who didn't feel like a fraud or an imposter at some point. We have Georgia back, who, if you have been listening to us from last year, we had Georgia on the podcast. She is part of a same-sex relationship over in WA, her and her beautiful wife and their two beautiful daughters. And we are going to be talking today all about being the non-birthing parent, as we did last episode, but a little bit of a 2024 updated version. And I wanted to thank you again, Georgia, for coming on. You're an absolute legend. I love talking to you. You're probably just going to be a part of our podcast now. We will just bring you on every 6 months for a little refresher. But do you want to introduce yourself? Who is Georgia and who is part of your family?
Yeah, so obviously my name is Georgia. I'm from WA, originally from over east as well, so I know what it's like over there too. So my wife is Kayla. She is the person behind our little story on Instagram. And my two little girls are Marley and Noah. So Noah's nearly four now, which is absolutely crazy. And Marley's just turned two and she's a little cyclone, but we love them anyway.
We always have to follow up with a, but we still love them anyway. They don't sleep, yeah. But we love them.
We do.
Now, G, there is nothing out there. I have done a Spotify search on non-birthing parents, what it's like to be a non-birthing mom, how to navigate that world. And I said this last time, but this is the driver for the podcast. I was navigating the trenches when myself and my fiance Maddie were going through IVF of how the heck am I going to go being a non-birthing parent? How do I navigate that? Has anyone been through that before? And I was just losing my mind. So we're doing this episode because I know that we are not the same first non-birthing parents in a same-sex couple to be alive on this earth. But non-birthing and non-biological parenting, they're different areas, they're different realms. They both come with their own sets of emotions and hurdles to kind of navigate. And I know that you are both the non-birthing mum and the non-biological mum to your two beautiful girls. But today we are going to be focusing on primarily the non-birthing mum and what comes with that. Because with that, I find that there can come a lot more external factors, like being asked, how was your birth? And like, how did you go during pregnancy, from people on the outside who don't know that you were the non-birthing mum. Often I find myself, I'm assumed to just be the birthing mum. If you're out with your kids by yourself, you're typically just assumed to be the birthing mum. And I get that, why that's the assumption. But how have you found that now that your girls are a little bit older as well, navigating people assuming? Have you found a way around how you go about it?
It's pretty similar, to be honest. Like, when I am out by myself, it's just assumed that I am their birthing mum, their biological mum, really. And there's always the comment, obviously I've got brown hair and brown eyes, and Marley's got brown hair, thank goodness, but they've both got bright blue eyes, and Noah has blonde hair. So the comment is always made, oh wow, they must look like their dad, or, you know, something like that. Which, you know, you cop. I copped for a little while, and then eventually I just was like, nah, screw it. I'm just going to tell them that they look like their other mum, because, you know, I'm proud of it. I obviously love Kayla very much, and I think she's beautiful, and the kids look exactly like her, which is exactly what I was hoping for, to be honest. But yeah, so when I'm with Kayla, obviously, I think a lot of the time it's assumed that, you know, I'm the good sister, you know, or a friend, but there's the select few that they can tell straight away, especially, you know, the kids call me mum now, and they're very vocal about that as well. So I think people get put back in their little box if they're assuming otherwise pretty quickly, once Noah's like, no, I've got two mums. And she's very proud of it now too, which is awesome to see. So,
yeah. Go Noah. So that's so interesting, because Mac is definitely not at that stage yet of understanding that, recognizing that, even really speaking full sentences. But that's really cool that she can now voice, no, I've got two mums. Yeah. These are my two mums. And how did you guys go about instilling that in her, kind of briefly?
I think, obviously we have friends And I don't actually think we do. No. Obviously, you guys, but you guys live on the other side of the country.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I know, right? But there's not really many people in our friendship group that there are two parents of the same sex. So, you know, Kayla's best friend, Danny, her partner is obviously a male, like her husband. So she could, the kids get used to seeing that around. Like, my boss has two little kids now, and, you know, they're in the same, not a same-sex relationship. So Noah would always kind of be like, oh, like, yeah, that's Titan's dad, or, you know, stuff like that. But then Noah started asking the question, and then she would realize that her Poppy was actually my dad, and her Grumps is Kayla's dad. And then we were like, well, no, you just have two mums. And for her, like, there's no question. That's completely normal. So, you know, when someone goes, oh, where's your dad? She goes, oh, I've got two mums. Because for her, that is her life, and that's, she's loved and accepted, and that's all she needs, which is awesome. That makes me very happy.
Don't you just wish that we could channel being the child and their brain and their energy and their thought pattern? Oh, because yes. Everything is just so simple to them, right?
Exactly.
What I find crazy is we were at Macklin's sport the other day, and there was a little girl there kind of helping out. She was probably 11 or 12. And she said to Maddie, pointed at me and said, is that your wife over there? And she instantly made that connection that we were both there with Macklin. We were both running around with her, both kind of pointing, saying, go over to mum. And that is the first time since we've had Mac that someone has, or since that Maddie and I have been together, that's been the first assumption. It's usually sisters or friends, or, and it had to come from an 11-year-old. So on one hand, we're raising our this generation right. We're doing something right here. But yeah, it just...
Definitely. That'd be a cool feeling.
It was... Maddie said she was just absolutely mind blown. She was like, I can't believe this kid has... And because they've got no filter and they're not scared of judgment, or they don't have any preconceived ideas about anything. Obviously, whoever has raised her knowing that everyone has different families. And that is so cool to see, because it hasn't been like that before.
Yeah, definitely.
So in regards to being the non-birthing parent, I'm not going to lie, it's weird, it's tricky, it's hard to navigate. And Mac being 18 months old and Noah and Marley being 4 and 2, we've obviously kind of had a lot of time to navigate those waters and work out responses. And as you said before, you initially are like, whatever, like, I'll just let it slide. I won't bring it up. I won't make that other person uncomfortable. But I agree with you. Now you get a little bit on and you're kind of like, no, fuck it. Like, yeah, I have a wife, or yeah, I have a partner that's a female, and but there's two mums. And the more that people are exposed to that, if it's going to cause 20 seconds of awkwardness in that conversation, I think personally, I feel now that's worth it for the long-term gain of people recognizing. But for those people navigating it in the early days, I personally felt like an imposter, like a fraud. And you can't explain it to anyone except another non-birthing mum. They're the only other people that are going to feel like that. And you're not mad or resentful towards the birthing mum. It's like, it might be even likely that you made the choice not to be the birthing mum, but it just feels odd. And have you and Kayla navigated that kind of conversation in the early days of how you felt?
Yeah, so obviously before Noah was even born, I was having those thoughts, obviously. And that was something that I was concerned that I would struggle with mentally once Noah was here with us. And then, you know, like, obviously you have a baby, and I'm sure it feels pretty much exactly the same for the birthing parent as well. Like, all of a sudden you are a mum. So you kind of have to tell yourself that in your head anyway, but then they have the ability to justify it by, you know, I carried the baby, I gave birth to the baby, and we don't. So we still have that fight in our mind. And for myself also, being the non-biological parent, like, if we're going to go on a technicality, then I'm not a mum.
Yeah.
But I had to just convince myself that I was. And once I kind of got that positive self-talk going, and, you know, like, obviously encouraging friends and family around me as well, making sure that I did feel seen and I was Noah's mum from the start, really helped. And then I think having Marley, like, already knowing what I was doing, being in the routine of what was going on, like, I was confident enough in myself just to be like, yep, I'm their mum from day one, which was an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I bet. And I am totally looking forward to having that with baby number two, because it just takes a nice weight off your shoulders, I would assume.
Yeah.
Having already navigated that. And yeah, so with our second IVF journey, Maddie's going to be carrying again, and she's going to be carrying her own embryo this time. So I'm going to be the non-birthing, non-biological parent to the next baby. And it doesn't, like, I'm not phased. It's not a thought in my mind that this is our family now. This is our family dynamic. Maddie carries, I'm the support partner. Like, and we know our roles and it works. And I've navigated through that. So I am really looking forward to not having to worry about going through those emotions. But I know there are so many people that are navigating this for the first time. And I kind of always wondered when I was initially going through it, is it harder on us because we're females? Because I did get a few comments from people when I would speak to them about it in regards to dads and them not being the birthing parent. And I kind of thought to myself, well, I wonder if males don't have that maternal instinct as much as we do. Like, we have the potential ability to carry and breastfeed and be that role. And that's kind of traditionally what women do, whereas males obviously never have. So I think I had to navigate that as well, in a sense. Like, yeah, it's hard to kind of explain, but I kind of was like, well, yeah, I bought into that story, being like, yeah, males might go through that feeling as well. But in all honesty, I probably think it's completely different because, you know, we've got that maternal feeling. Did you ever have a desire to carry? How did you navigate those maternal kind of hormones that just kick in naturally? Like, we have no control over them.
Yes, we definitely don't. So when we decided to have Noah, I wasn't ready at all. So well and truly happy to support Kayla on that journey. And then when we were trying for Marley, I was interested and I did want to carry, but with just the timelines in terms of me starting a new job, Kayla being in a good position to take some more leave, it just kind of came down to Kayla was the right decision for our family. So that's a decision that we made together, and like, I'm completely okay with that. But then obviously we're moving on in the journey now and we would love a third baby, but we're also stuck in that same position. Well, number one, in today's society financially, and number two is the same, we're in the same position. So I'm in a full-time job, Kayla's 2 days a week at the moment. And we have to obviously navigate that as well, you know, on our side. But yeah, more so now, like more than ever, the maternal instinct is kicking in, and you know, like, I've got that baby fever, and my sister-in-law's pregnant, and Kayla's best friend's pregnant, and my boss has just had a baby, and so is my best mate that I work with, and it's just, yeah, all the hormones are everywhere, and it is a really hard thing to overcome. But I think that at the end of the day, when Noah and Marley were born, I got to be a mum, so that's just something that I'm going to be forever grateful for, no matter what happens in the future as well. So yeah.
That's such a good point that you make, and I really had to hone in on that a lot, and it really changed my mindset when Mads had Macklin, is that I'm just so grateful that she gave us her.
Yeah.
And you look at your partner, like the birthing mum, in a completely different light, I think. And whether it's you don't want to carry, you can't carry, you do want to carry, but your situations just, you know, don't allow that at that stage, you'll look at them and you'll think, wow, I'm so grateful that you've brought me this child. And I don't think there's any way around navigating being those feelings of being the non-birthing parent. You kind of have to find your own ways to navigate that in your own family dynamic, and it's about getting comfortable with telling strangers. And I think even still to this day, there's always conversations that are going to arise, being a same-sex couple, being a non-birthing parent. Like, there's just so much to navigate. Even when Maddie was pregnant at work, my partner said to the patient that I was treating, oh, Rochelle's going to have a baby soon. And all credit to this patient, they were intoxicated, so that's fine. But they said, oh, I can see your little baby bump. And I was like, oh my God, how do I navigate this conversation? Because I had a big bulky jacket on because it was the middle of the night. And I was like, oh no. And like, it's kind of outing you and putting you on the spot. And then you kind of have to be like, no, I'm not pregnant. My wife's pregnant, or my partner, or whatever. They're the one giving birth. And then I used to find, and sometimes I suppose I even still do, instantly you feel less than. Instantly yeah. You feel not the mum. You've just automatically thrown the reins of mum title over to your partner. And so that is such a tricky world to navigate, and that it keeps coming back to feeling like a fraud and feeling like an imposter. Talk me through some things that you did during Kayla's pregnancy and through the early stages that you think helped you bond with the babies, bond, you know, with Kayla during the pregnancy, and kind of get that fix of mum life.
Yeah, I guess I was in a pretty good position where I was working casually when Noel was being grown and Kayla was pregnant with Noah. That sounded so weird. So for me it was really important to get along to all the doctor's appointments and the scans and just to be a part of that sort of a process, because we're kind of the first people in our friendship group over here to have a baby. So for me that was all completely new. So that's something that I really wanted to immerse myself in. And then obviously I loved going shopping and buying lots of little baby clothes. I'm a sneaker fan. So I was all about the sneakers, and then when Marley come along, we're all about the Crocs now. So you're just buying those little things that were like my little creation for the kids, I guess, and being a part of decorating the rooms and whatnot, because Kayla is just ridiculously creative, and once she has an idea, it needs to be orchestrated there and then, which usually meant, I think Noah's room has like 4 coats of paint on it at the moment. But it's just, yeah, getting involved in those little decisions and being as much of a team as we can to try and experience every little milestone just together, sort of thing, not trying to miss out on anything.
Yeah. Really, I think that the birthing mums in same-sex relationships have it bloody good, because we are top-notch support. We are top-notch support partners. We are there where we want to be involved. We want to pick all the little baby clothes. We want to decorate all that. We want to do all the girly stuff too. So talk to me about birth certificates. I know it's a very random topic, but yeah. I know a lot of people can be made to feel less than. On a little side note, I'm from an Italian background, and recently Italy took out mother, like the other mother, from the birth certificates. And so all non-birthing mothers got removed from their kids' birth certificates.
Oh my goodness.
Which is a huge step backwards. And I know in New South Wales, I'm listed as the other parent, which I'm happy with. It's progress. But I do know in some states that there's mother and mother, which would make you feel even more included. So what's it like over where you are?
It's funny that you brought this up, because you've just reminded me that I need to change one of them. But Noah's, we obviously, first time, we had no idea what was going to happen when we filled out the form, but we just wrote down that we were both mums, and Noah's turned up and Kayla's mother and I'm mother, so there's no difference between the two. Obviously, we have different last names on Noah's birth certificate, but for Marley's birth certificate, we got a... Not so pleasant surprise when it came back with mother, Kayla, and I was the father. So, George. Yeah, I'm listed as, George Hinckley. I'm listed as, father on Marley's birth certificate, which I've only just remembered because, as you can imagine, they get put in a cupboard and I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, yeah, that's something I need to definitely go and change, because last time I checked, I was her other mum. So.
Brilliant. I love it. So in WA, they do have mother and mother. Bar their birth certificate place that screw up.
Yeah. Birth, deaths and marriages, if they want to list me as a father, then yeah. But WA, yeah, definitely mother and mother. There's no difference between the two. So
amazing. It shouldn't be different in different states. No. It doesn't make any sense. But I can only imagine, and not that it, as you said, it gets put in the cupboard and completely forgotten about, but in those early days, that is just a nice little internal reminder and little... like visual kind of, I am mother and mother. which is really cool.
Yeah, I would say that if Noah's came back saying that I was a father, that would have made me feel 10 times worse in the mental state that I was trying to convince myself that I was a mum the first time around.
Right.
But having that security when Marley was born, it's something that I can have a little giggle about, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and I think that for people out there in those positions, if you're like a medical receptionist where you may be dealing with same-sex partners and new parents, midwives and things like that, I think it's really nice to ask, what are you going to be called? And it's just very respectful of being like, no, I'm being called mum and I'm being called mama or whatever. So having in your mind that those little comments that may seem insignificant actually make quite a big impact on people navigating that in the early days. I remember when we went to a medical appointment, I had booked it. So for Mac, I put her details in and then I just listed my contact details. When we then went to the appointment, Maddie and I both went to the appointment, and it was a very early day. So they were talking about breastfeeding and how, you know, that was all going, how Maddie was feeling postpartum. And when we left, in a room full of people, I think I was telling you this story last time, but in a room full of people, the nurse called out to the medical receptionist and said, hey, can you just take Rochelle off as the mum on Macklin's profile and put her down as the other parent and put Maddie as the mum, please? In a room full of, in front of everyone as we were walking out with our newborn. And it just didn't have to be a thing. And I get now, looking back on it, that's fine. Like, you want to, you know, decipher between, you know, this is the birthing mum and they're the one we're kind of treating. They're the one we're going through postpartum phase with, but just don't take me off as mum. I'm still the mum.
Yeah.
So it could have like gone down differently. But I think touching a little bit on the non-biological side. So I know Mac is genetically mine, which it still blows my mind, because I have really bad comparison. Like, I can't tell when two things look similar. And so I don't see a lot of me in Mac. Whereas Maddie's really good. She'll see someone and be like, oh my God, how much do they look like such and such? Or this person is the doppelganger to this person. And
yeah,
all the time she's like, Mac has your eyes, or she has your cheeks, or she has your eyebrows, or what, like, you know, the most obscure things. And I cannot see it. But I know that Maddie finds it hard when people make comments about that. She obviously loves me so much and it makes her happy. You know, even she's making those comments. But I want to talk about how to deal with comments like that. And I want to talk about how to deal with comments of people saying about that, you not being the birthing parent or you not being biologically related. How did that make you feel in the early days, and how did you navigate that internally?
Yeah, well, obviously, to begin, even some days, depending on what mood I'm in, to be honest, those comments still make me feel like shit.
But yeah,
it's evident that, you know, Noah has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she'll tell me all the time that she looks like her mummy, which is beautiful. She's proud of that, and I'm so grateful that she's proud of that. But Noah then goes, yeah, but it's okay because mama looks like you because she's got brown hair. And like, it's cute to hear Noah say that, and it's all fun and games. But yeah, when the comments get thrown around in public, they can hurt. Like, it's not because you don't want them to look like your partner or whoever it is, but it's like, because sometimes people just think, because they do look so much like Kayla, that like, I do get written off as a mum, which I, like I said, I used to just brush the comments off. But I feel like now, like, not so much calling people out, but just making them aware of saying stuff like that can actually hurt someone. Like, you know, like I said, super grateful that the girls do look like Kayla, and obviously I think they're all beautiful, but at the same time, for them to be like, oh wow, like, that she's just Kayla's twin, like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
And obviously personality is homegrown, and both the children are very much psychopaths like me, so they love walking around the house making stupid noises and annoying Kayla and just being funny as, and that's just my job, that's my number one trait. Yeah. So looks wise, they 100% look like Kayla, but it also then feels really good when people are like, oh my god, she's so stupid, because that's what you do. Like, you know, like Marley runs around the house pretending to be Hey Hey off Moana and making these funny noises because that's what I do. So at the same time, it doesn't have to all just be about looks. It's also about the way that they act and that, like, their affectionate side and their suki la la side, because that is all definitely from me. It's also great when people can see more than just what they look like versus how they actually are.
Yep.
Because when you see how they actually are, you can see that they are like a perfect mix of Kayla and myself, which is
nature versus nurture.
So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's good. Yeah. When people can see beyond appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do we navigate explaining to people, or people not thinking that we are the real mum? Surprisingly, are a lot of people out there that when I asked, what do you want to know about being the non-birthing mum, have asked that, how do we explain to people that I am still the real mum? And I'm not discounting the fact by any means that birthing, the job that birthing parents have, they do go through so much, but more so maybe internalized feeling of being the real mum, because we didn't go through that experience. Yeah. So how the hell could we be a real mum if we didn't give birth?
That's a good question, to be honest.
Mm. And probably something that I refer back to as, like, you still feel like a fraud. And I think I personally can't really say that I've fully navigated that, and don't ever feel like not the real mum. I think it's just about coming back to reminding yourself, like, no, hey, I contribute to this family. We have a bond. We have our own little inside jokes, me and, you and your kid, and you are still 50% of that partnership, and you contribute actively to that. And so I don't know, I haven't gotten past that point of sometimes not feeling like the real mum because I didn't give birth, I didn't go through pregnancy or carry. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's just how it is because you didn't experience those things. So don't put the pressure on yourself to... it's that expectation of being like, well, I'm only a real mum if I gave birth.
Yeah, and that's definitely the wider view of it, for sure.
And I think that's where my kind of like external pressures are coming from, because when I block out all that noise, I'm like, yeah, of course I'm her real mum. Like, that doesn't even cross my mind. But yeah, when you bring in all that noise from externally, it can definitely feel a little bit hard. So to those people, I say you're not alone in feeling like that. There are.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's super common. Like, I would be quite surprised if there was a non-birthing parent who didn't feel like a fraud or an imposter at some point.
Yeah, well, I feel like when you're breaking it down and when you're trying to convince yourself that you are a mum, carrying the child or giving birth to the child or being or breastfeeding or just pregnancy in general is the only thing that you can tell yourself that you're not a mum, because you didn't experience that. So really, when we're talking about being a mum, when we're trying to convince ourselves that we aren't, because we're trying to put that on us, then that's the only thing that we can bring it back to. Otherwise, in every other sense of being a parent or being a mum, we are. So I feel like that's what it always goes back to, because someone goes, oh yeah, but you didn't give birth, but I do literally everything else. So I think that's what it is. But
yeah.
Yes, I'm sure everyone feels like that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I suppose one last thing I want to touch on is postpartum mental health as the non-birthing parent. And I think this, I suppose we can relate to dads as well, because I know that there is a big push for people saying that, dads can get postpartum depression as well. And so it's more so now looking at it from like, the support partner or non-birthing parent in general, the other parent that didn't give birth, and postpartum depression is focused a lot on the birthing parent. So that I can't speak personally from navigating that, nor do I have any expertise on that, but it's there, it's a real thing, and it shouldn't be discounted, I don't think, as the non-birthing parent. That's still... you're still very valid to feel like that. So for anyone navigating that, I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah.
Not to discount your own feelings in those early days or, whenever as the non-birthing parent, because you're not the real mum. you didn't give birth, so you're not warranted to feel the way that you're feeling, because you definitely are.
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
Yeah, and I think that was a big thing. I don't know, do you feel like you went through that phase of being like, I need to push down my own feelings because I didn't give birth, so and my problems don't matter.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously I touched on it last time we spoke about this, but Kayla's, both of her births, Noah's more than Marley's, was pretty average. So Kayla had a decent recovery to do, and obviously I seen the struggle that she was going through, and that was something that I couldn't relate to physically. But I'm sure that we were both in the same place mentally, especially, you know, my first baby's born and 10 days later, my wife's back in hospital. Like, you know, like all of those sort of things that came down to, yeah, the mental health side of it, just trying to tell myself, well, it's okay because you didn't have to do this, so maybe you should just push on with it. But obviously, you know, it's 2024 now. There's way more clarity around being open and letting yourself feel your feels. And yeah, looking back at it, I can see that there was definitely some times where I was in my feels about that sort of a situation, and I completely understand why, and I was sure I'd still feel the same if we had a baby tomorrow. But yeah, like, I think it is really important to validate your own feelings and to voice them as well, because you never know, like, you and your partner might be feeling exactly the same, whether you're male or female, and it could be something really good for you to just have that conversation and make sure that you're both feeling heard and make sure that you're both, like, okay, really, because parenthood, no matter whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, however many it is, like, it can be pretty rough, especially in those early days with the no sleep and all the new routines and older children adjusting to the babies and whatnot. And yeah, I think that, yeah, feel your feels, be aware of them, make sure that if you do need to vocalize them, that you can vocalize them. And yeah, I reckon that's the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. And gee, I'm so excited to get you back on if you guys do go down the path of having a third, and if you do carry, because I still have no desire to carry. And so I would love to know how that will look, because that will be a huge mindset shift for you, right? Like, you're now going from the support partner to the birthing, or, like, you know, to the pregnant mum. So that's going to be huge for you, because I am so comfortable in my role as a support partner. I love this role. I've really taken it on. I feel really good about our boundaries in our family and everything. And as I said, I have no desire to carry. Maddie's a unicorn. She does incredible at it. So I would love to know, if you do end up going down that path, what the mindset shift is like for you and whether that will persuade me to want to carry or not.
To be fair, I haven't 100% decided in my mind if I want to carry or if I'd just like to have a child that is genetically tied back to me, like obviously yourself and Maddie did as well. For me, it means I'm a workaholic, so I love my job. It means I don't want my child raised in daycare, so I would probably have to take at least a year off work, which is insane for someone like myself who likes to work Monday to Friday and then, you know, all the hours in between. And then for Kayla, it would be an adjustment of going back to a full-time job. And that's rough on the family as well. And obviously then we have two other little ones to consider. So for me, I think I'm leaning more towards, I would just love to genetically have a child that has the same ties as me. And that doesn't discount the fact that I have two other daughters who I love more than anything in the world, but I think it would be so cool just to have, like, the mix of both sort of thing. Obviously, you know, it'd be great to go down the same path of using the same donor, so then they would also be genetically related siblings as well. Obviously with Marley and the one that we have next, hopefully. But yeah, so I think reciprocal IVF is definitely something that we are starting to look into, because that does seem to align more with the past that we both have in our careers and whatnot right now, and I think that would work best for our family. But if a position opened up where Kayla was in a full-time job, or for instance she's starting to take her photography a bit more seriously, which I've strongly encouraged because she is insanely talented, so it's about time she started getting a bit more into that. Like, if something like that picked off and our circumstances changed, I would be more than interested in carrying my own child. But yeah, ideally, if circumstances don't change, we will somehow get some money and go through what we need to go through for reciprocal IVF. And to be fair, like, we didn't really ever consider that coming into the question until we come across you two. And obviously, you know, you've got your little success story there with Mac, and she's beautiful too. And yeah, I think it'll just be such a cool experience as well. So different, obviously, Kayla's carried her own genetical children, or me doing the same thing. Like, I think it'd be such a cool, unique experience that not many people could say that they have been through, which I would, I'm all for as well.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And don't feel selfish saying that, because I could see you through that kind of trying to justify why you want a kid that's genetically related to you. So don't feel selfish at all. It is such an incredible and cool experience, and you're allowed to want that. Just because we're in a same-sex couple doesn't mean you have to completely disregard the fact that you're, and if you're not going to carry, well, I'm never going to have a child that's genetically from me. Because yeah, when Mads and I were going through that, I was like, Maddie was going to carry, she was going to carry her own egg, and when we finally get married, we're taking her surname. So I was like, well, fuck, I just feel like a piece of garnish in this whole situation. And I really struggled with it. And so reciprocal IVF was the answer for us. And it's really cool. So not a selfish thing to say at all. You know, all that, we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to do this, right? And so
yeah, 100%.
Super cool if you guys go down that path as well. We have so many options. And
yes. Fingers crossed. Yeah, that's the good thing about the day and age that we live in. There are so many different options, and I'm sure that, you know, family and friends in times that are past, they, like, you have a kid and you have a kid and that's it, or your partner has a kid and that's it, or you just don't have kids.
Yep.
Like, that's what it is. But yeah, there's so many options out there, and yeah, reciprocal IVF is something that, like, we think is really, really cool. A good option.
Yeah.
To make sure that we don't have to deviate from our current career paths and stuff too much. So yeah.
And very cool for the birthing mum, because I know that Maddie through the whole thing was like, oh my God, like, I'm carrying something that's probably going to look like you. Like, it's a very cool experience for them as well. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for coming on and shedding some light on a topic that absolutely isn't spoken about enough. And shout out to all the non-birthing parents out there, whether you're about to become one, you are one, you're doing an amazing job, you are a real mum. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And if you're feeling like a fraud or an imposter, it's very normal. We all feel like that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll chat to you soon. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week, so if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.